Luke 2, 1 through 20. About the time Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire, this was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from Galilee, town of Nazareth, up to Bethlehem in Judea, David's town, for the census, as a descendant of David. He had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hostel. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you are to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they've been told.
Merry Christmas, Eve, 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 Eve! I know all of you here, you are in the midst of making all sorts of plans. And you've probably already begun your plans. And those plans are to celebrate Christmas, right? To celebrate Christmas. And some of you are really excited about those plans. And some of you are really anxious about those plans. But we've all got plans. You all, people that have come in said, "We're coming here tonight because we know what's coming." So I understand why that you're here tonight and why we are celebrating tonight. I'm glad that we're here. I want to share with you what my plan is. And it's a plan that I have every year. And I have bunches of other plans. It's not my only one. But my main plan is to make memories. To make memories at this time of the year. How about you? Because isn't making memories what Christmas is all about? Now, I've had this plan since I was a young kid. And I can't help but have a plan like that because that's the way I was raised. For you see, we Sheltons were all about making memories at Christmas Eve. From the early 1970s to the end of the 1990s, family and friends and all sorts of people would gather together at the Shelton Hacienda on Sunshine Street, a very busy street in Springfield, Missouri, near the corner of National. If you know that place, you know how busy it is. And we would gather there and we would make merry. We'd eat well. We'd have, oh wow, hot chocolate, hot wassail. How many of you here like wassail? Some of you are going, "I don't know what that is." Trust me, you would love it if you had some. We would have Swedish meatballs. We would have cobblestone cake. And we would have oyster soup, which I always called slugs and milk, which my mom hated. But we ate well and we celebrated. And a big part of that celebration, of course, was music. And everybody played an instrument. We had trumpets, that was me. We had flutes, that was Tammy. We had violin, that was my sister Robin. We had all sorts of different instruments and guitars and gosh, recorders, drums. Thank you, Robin. She's got these memories. We had all these different instruments, and we just played up so loudly in that house. I'm sure the neighbors would probably call the police on us. But we had a wonderful time, and then we would sing. We would sing at the top of our lungs. And friends, I will always have those memories, even though some have faded. There will always be something that I'll see at Christmas time that will remind me of those memories. And the memories continue. Last year, a favorite memory of mine was getting together with our grandkids and sharing one of my favorite Christmas gifts, which was a very modestly economical little drone that we get at Walmart, maybe, I don't know. And anyway, it's one that you would throw up in the air, and it would buzz and fly, and you would control its flight by the warmth of your hand as you would guide that. A beautiful memory. Now, these are beautiful memories, and I cherish them. But I have to tell you that there are not so great memories that also come to my heart. There was the Christmas Eve celebration years ago where my 9-year-old son Nathan was angry at me, and he sat under the dining room table all night long. There was the time that my older brother and his wife were kind of teasing each other in the kitchen, and one thing led to another, and they both fell against the door that went out to the garage, and they were fine, but that glass window, it was taken out. And then I don't know how many years that people would come to our house, and of course nobody could park in the driveway. They had to park on the front yard. It became a parking lot. I don't know how many times we had fender benders out there that led to great Christmas joy, right? Even last year's adventure with the drone. That drone was uncontrollable. It went into the air, and then it went after some of my grandkids and chased after them. They ran in terror, so we thought, let's take it outside. Surely outside it will fly and stay away. And stay away it did. We hoisted it into the air, and then wafted by the winds, it went up over the garage, and then over the trees, and then out of the yard, and then I saw it go over the roofs of neighbors' houses. And then about a half an hour later, as we walked the neighborhood, we found it 2 blocks away, crashed in somebody's driveway, never to fly again. Not the bestest of memories, but you know, that's one thing about memories, is that when we think back on them, even if they're crazy ones, we can laugh about them now. We can take them in and say, that was all part of the whole thing. And it was blessed. Memories are made at Christmas. And don't you know that memories were made at that first Christmas all those years ago? You had Mary and Joseph and those shepherds that happened to be in the neighborhood. And they had something in common. They were subject of empire, the Roman Empire. And we know that because the emperor says, you all have to travel where you normally wouldn't. You're going to have to travel so I can count you all in the census. Mary and Joseph and those wonderful shepherds in the neighborhood had something else in common, though, too. And that is that they had a hope that their God loved them so much that God was going to give them a Savior. And we celebrate tonight that God did. And I just want to ask you all to bring to your heart what memories they made that night. Think about those shepherds, minding their own business, another night out with the herd, the flock, and all of a sudden the sky is filled with aerial phenomena. And they're having to make sense of this. And not only is there sight, but there is sound. And none of these shepherds have seen angels before, and as far as we know, they'll never see them again, but they saw them that night. What kind of memory did they make that night? How many of them were speechless after what they saw? How many of them passed out? But they witnessed the good news. The Savior has come. And in their state of mind, they felt like, hey, let's go with this. Let's go check out what these angels said. And so they travel. I don't know how. We never hear that the angels say, yeah, turn left here and go right here and you're going to find this manger, right? They didn't even tell them to follow a star. They said, just go and find them in Bethlehem. So they did. We don't know how long they traveled in Bethlehem. We don't know how many rocks they stumbled over. We don't know who stayed with the sheep. But what we know is that they showed up, and all of a sudden they came upon this cave, this dank cave, and there they see a man and a woman and a little baby in a feeding trough. And they knew that all that they had seen and heard was true. And it changed their lives, right? They were the first evangelists. The Lord is here. The angel said it, and we saw it. And we saw our Savior as a little bitty baby in a feeding trough. Isn't that amazing? Think of Joseph and his memories. Trying to find a place for them to be because Mary's about to have this baby, and you know, apparently it's going to happen real soon. They have to find a place to be. They can't find a place to be. Now, you know there's family in town. Maybe you hadn't considered that. He's going to his ancestral hometown of Bethlehem, right? That's where all the family is. But I guess the house is full. So he has to stay out in that little cave, that little shed. And so he's thinking about, well, I know how that this is how we make do. And his worry that he probably remembers of that night as he looks at Mary, but then that little baby being born. And the look in Mary's face. And then the joy of seeing that little baby boy. What memory he made that night. And then there's Mary. We know Mary remembered because Luke tells us that. Mary sees these strangers out of nowhere that come to watch and see. She sees the look of awe and the tears and joy on their faces as they see her little baby. And she treasures that in her heart. She looks into the eyes of Joseph. And she sees the worry and the exhaustion, but she also sees the joy that is there. And she looks down after giving birth to this baby and said, like many of us who just have kids, it's like, how did this happen? How did this baby get created in this way? Except for Mary, it's like, how is this God's son? Christmas is for making memories. You know, while we're remembering that Christmas of long ago, I was thankful for a writer who sparked my memory. This writer said, you know, there's something about this Christmas story. God didn't come to kings, queens, princes, or princesses. God didn't come to temple priests or rabbis or anybody else who were good church people. God came to dirty, smelly shepherds in a field. Even the scripture said they were poor. And God came to Joseph, and most especially to Mary. And don't you know that there were other children born that night as well? But God revealed God's self to them, whom nobody else would know or care for if it had not been for Jesus. This is because God comes to everyone. Especially to those who are on the outside. Sometimes we come together in this place and we feel good to come together as believers and it just feels good and we know God's love. But oftentimes we may be out in the world and we're feeling a lot of pressure. We're facing a lot of struggle. And we often wonder, where is God? Well, hear the good news that we celebrate tonight. The Lord is come. Not the Lord was come, not the Lord will come, but the Lord is come. The Lord is here now, and joy became incarnate. Oh, that's a fancy churchified word, isn't it? I like to think of it this way. Joy love, God became embodied. God became embodied to be with us because we needed God to be embodied to be with us so that we can know God's love in a powerfully special way. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's this wonderful miracle of a God who loves us, a God who created everything, a God who is beyond all that we know, and yet a God who would choose to become embodied to love us. That's what we need to remember tonight as we're making more memories. Because we're making memories right now, aren't we? So remember this. When you leave here tonight and you go about your plans that you have, whether you're traveling, and I'm praying for everyone who's traveling. Kip, wherever you are, I'm praying for you too, brother, as you're traveling. I am, for all of you that aren't traveling but you're having family come in, for all of you who aren't really traveling but you're going to family, all those different situations, in every place that you are, make memories. Make memories with the Lord who has come in your heart. And especially with those that you meet that may not know the love of God. Share your heart with them too, using words if necessary. Be kind to people now, but not just now, but from now on. Because if the Lord has come, that means the Lord keeps on coming. And that means we keep on sharing. So my Christmas wish for all of us, friends, is to make the best memories you can, even if some aren't not as great, but celebrate that God is with you, that God loves you, that grace is incarnate in love, that joy is incarnate in the Lord who has come. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.